Sarvate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And today we are reading Canto 10, Chapter 36, and Text 16, The Slaying of Arista, the Bull Demon. Ariste nihate daitye.
Ariste nihate daitye.
Krishna nadbhuta karmana. Kamsayataha bhagavam. Narado devadarshana. Ariste nihate daitye. Krishna nadbhuta karmana. Kamsayata bhagavan. Narado devadarshana. One more time. Ariste nihate daitye. Krishna nadbhuta karmana. Kamsayataha bhagavan. Narado devadarshana. Please chant. Arista, nihate, having been killed, daitye, the demon, Krishnana, by Krishna, adbhuta karmana, whose activities are wonderful, kamsaya, to kamsa, atha, then, aha, spoke. Bhagavan, the powerful sage. Narada, Narada. Devadarshana, whose vision is godly. Translation. After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa, the powerful sage of godly vision. Address the king as follows. Please repeat. After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa, the powerful sage of godly vision, addressed the king as follows. Jai Om Maginati Mirandasya Jamanjana Shavataya Takshavimritam Janatashman Shavataya. Purport by His Divine Grace's disciples. The term Devadarshana can be understood in many ways, all of which are consistent with the context and purport of this narration. Deva means God, and darshana means seeing, in an audience or an audience with a great personality. Thus, Deva Darshana, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God, that getting Narada's audience is as good as getting God's, since Narada is a pure representative of the Lord, and also that Narada's audience is as good as that of the demigods, who are also known as devas. That there are all these meanings on the term Deva Darshana reveals something to the richness of the Srimad Bhagavatam's language. From the Puranas, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya, describes the origin of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, Radha's and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. Now, with your permission, I would like to read the translation from Vishwanatha Chakravarti's book that this is in, without the Sanskrit, and with a translation by Bhanu Swami and edited by Mahanidhi Swami. That's okay with all of you. All right? Thank you. All right. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, his purport. The term Devadarshana, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God, and that he knows or sees the pastimes of Krishna, knowing that Krishna's Raja Lila was ending. Narada spoke to Kamsa to induce him to bring Krishna to Mathura. In 20 verses, the Puranas describe how Radhakund and Shamakund appeared after the killing of Aristasura as a result of a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna. Radha said, "O sinful killer of a bull, do not touch me today." Krishna replied, "O foolish woman, this is not a bull, but a terrible demon disguised as a bull." Radha, "O Krishna, that may be true, but even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow, so you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing the demon Vritasura, who was a Brahmana." Krishna, "O Radha, what should I do to atone for this act?" Radha, "You can purify yourself by bathing in every single holy place in the three worlds." Mm-hmm. Krishna, why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." Saying that, Mukunda struck his heel on the ground to make a hole and said, "Come here." Then all the holy waters in the universe and their presiding deities came there along with the Bhagavati River coming from the Patala region. Krishna, "Hey, Sakis, behold all the holy waters." But the gopis did not believe Krishna's words. Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, came forward and introduced themselves. "I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Dirgika. I am the river Shona. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamarpani. I am the holy place Pushkar. I am the river Sarasvati. We are the Godavari, Jamuna, and Reva rivers, and the confluence of rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Krishna became quite arrogant and said, "I have made one lake containing all the various holy places, but none of you have performed such pious work." Hearing this, Radha said to her friends, "I must create an even more beautiful lake. Go to work and construct one with great care. West of Krishna's Kunda, where Arista's hooves have made a hole, The gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in a short span of an hour, Gatika Vayena made a beautiful divine kunda. Astonished to see the lake the gopis produced, Krishna thought of enjoying rasa and said, "O lotus-eyed Radha, please take some of the holy water from my kunda and fill up your kunda." Radha said, "No, no, no, no. This is impossible, since the water of your lake is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. My countless sakis will bring billions of pots of pure water from Manasaganga to fill up my kunda. By this, my fame will be spread throughout the universe." All that time, Shri Krishna gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly that person rose up out of Krishna's kund and bowed down to Vrishabhanu Nandini. Then, with folded hands and tears in her eyes, she began to offer praises. Quote, "O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories. Nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the best of man, can understand them. And thus he feels obliged to personally wipe the perspiration from your limbs when you are fatigued. Krishna is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarium charu and yavaka, and decorating them with ankle bells. Krishna rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by serving your lotus feet. Oh, on Krishna's order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent lake, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit." Being satisfied with the praises spoken by the representatives of all the holy places, Radha said, "So, kindly tell me your desire." The holy places clearly stated their desire. "Our lives will be successful if we can enter your kunda. This is the boon we pray for." Glancing at her beloved from the corners of her eyes, Vrishabhanu Nandini replied with a smile, "Please come." Radha's sakis all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, all the moving and non-moving creatures became enlivened. Thus, gaining the mercy of Radha, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Radha and Sri Krishna Kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. Krishna said, "O most beloved, may your kunda become more famous in the world than mine. I will come here daily to bathe and to enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, your kunda is as dear to me as you are." Radha replied, "I will bathe daily in your kunda as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arista demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this kunda, which is on the spot where you chastise Aristasura, and who bathes and resides or resides here, is sure to become my very, very dear to me. Snayad Vasen Mama Saeva Mahapriyostu." That night, a brilliant flash of beautiful lightning in the form of Sri Radhika, whose glory is spread throughout the three worlds, caused a shower of blissful rasa to fall on the Krishna cloud by performing a rasa dance on the banks of Radha Kund. And that's the end of the poor part. So there are a few points that I would like to speak on this verse. First point is wonderful, Krishna. This is mentioned that Krishna is the Sanskrit is Adbhuta Karmana, whose activities are wonderful. Then I'm going to speak about Narada. Then we can talk about Radhakunda again. So the Adbhuta Karmana, whose activities are wonderful. And there's a whole chapter in a Krishna book where that is dedicated to wonderful Krishna, chapter 26. And so that's as a description of the superhuman activities that Krishna performed. It's a conversation of the Brijbasis right after Govardhan Hill had been lifted. They were all doubtful, saying, you know, who is this little boy? You know, how can he have done, you know, lifted a mountain so effortlessly? And then they continue on describing all the wonderful activities that Krishna had performed. They mentioned about, you know, him killing the big witch Putana just by sucking her life air. And also, you know, the demon disguised as a whirlwind, Trinivarta, that carried Krishna up in the sky. And Krishna just hung to his neck and forced the demon to fall down. So that is the nature of the wonderful activities of this boy named Krishna. He is not from this world. And in his world, offer bodies there of different elements. And the ingredients of Prakriti. Prakriti offer us bodies that are made of earth, water, fire, air and ether and mind, intelligence and ego. But the bodies for the spiritual realm, they are mimic Krishna's. They are bodies made up of eternity, satiety, and bliss. And due to the nature of his self, he doesn't have to abide by the laws of nature. The laws of material nature apply to all of us, but material nature is one of Krishna's energies, and it's under his control. Example, gravity. Gravity is Newton's law of universal gravitation. It doesn't apply to Krishna because, you know, Krishna actually defied it by lifting a whole hill. He is a soft, you know, bodied little boy, 7 years old, and, you know, and he lifted, it's described that he lifted the hill like an elephant picks up a lotus flower. So with that, you know, it's nothing. And that's defying the laws of gravity because he is not under the material nature. He's the one, you know, the impersonalists always, you know, think that Krishna, when Krishna comes, he's under the laws of nature, but he's not. And Prabhupada was very emphatic about this point in so many classes that, you know, this is, it's Krishna's potency is glorious. His material nature is under him, and him and his incarnations are not under the laws of material nature. And this is why he's so wonderful. He does all these wonderful activities, and he's a truly out of this world boy. So this verse also addresses Narada Muni. Narada Muni, as a powerful sage of godly vision, and the Srila Prabhupada's disciples gave a description in the purport. Narada Muni is a pure devotee, and in his special quality is that he's free to travel as either in the material realm and in the spiritual realm. There is a Sanskrit term for it. It's apur. I just couldn't find it. My search power is not. What do you know that Pundarik Prabhu? It's upward traveler, something like that. That described Narada Muni. I couldn't find it. I wanted to find it. I can. You know, that described that Narada Muni goes from this realm to the spiritual realm and back, and he can go everywhere. And he's have a very important purpose in Krishna's pastimes. I found an interesting sentence in Jiva Goswami's Gopalachampu that described Narada's relationship with Krishna. And this is Gopalachampu, is that story of the two boys, Srinikanta and Madhukanta. They're talking in the assembly hall in Vrindavan, recounting Krishna's pastimes to the Brajvasis. And I would like to share that with you, because it gives an interesting depth to the relationship. So this is in Gopalachampu by Srila Jiva Goswami. This is also translated by Bhana Swami. Chapter 2, The Cruelty of Akrura. Okay, so this here describes that Krishna was a... Krishna was thinking. Okay, so this is Madhukanta describing what Krishna was thinking. Krishna said, this dream in which I dragged Kamsa from the stage was like actually seeing the event. It will happen soon. Today, Keshi intent on killing me will be killed. Kamsa will be killed after that. And for that purpose, I will go to Mathura. It is time to go there. It is understood that out of fear, he will not come here. Without the killing of Kamsa, who constantly afflicts the Vrishnis now and has sent rascals to kill me, my parents in Mathura and Vraja will be filled with fear. And then the next paragraph. Again, he thought, Oh, if I delay in doing this, I think it will not be auspicious for the lives of my mother and father. If I leave them and go, I will become insane due to the disturbance of my internal wind. Like moon, pushed by the zodiac movements, cloud, pushed by the wind, and the sun, pushed by the zodiac movements, I am the moon of the chakra eyes of my mothers, who derive nectar from my face. I am the cloud of the chataka eyes of my father, who subsists on me. And I am the sun for the people of Gokula, who blossom like lotuses. While Krishna lie on his bed, lamenting for a long time, Keshi approached. And then it says that now continue on. Protected by Yashoda in increasing his fame on a pretext of herding cows, Krishna met Narada in private. Narada consoled Krishna, full of doubt and regret, by relating to him his previous and future pastimes while considering all implications. The protector of all auspiciousness then dispatched Narada and returned to Vraja with the cows, still disturbed, but playing with his friends with a happy face. So that, you know, gives you the Narada's position in Krishna's pastime. What it came to me is like a very busy business person, very busy, that has a secretary. And the business person, you know, the secretary keeps the schedule, have the agenda, and Krishna is like the business person in charge. He's just so involved in his whole business that, you know, he's just living in that world. He's not just keeping track of things, of the schedule. So that's what I understood, like that. That's how Narada comes to help Krishna in this way. And in this purport, you know, there is the Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada describes Narada also the Deva Darshana. That's worth our investigation here, because it's a little different from the disciples' translation. So after, quoting from the Krishna book, Kamsa Sena Krura Prakrishna, it was after this incident that the great sage Narada disclosed the secret of Krishna. Narada Muni is generally known as Deva Darshana, which means that he can be seen only by demigods or persons on the same level of the demigods. But Narada visited Kamsa, who was not at all on the level of the demigods, and yet Kamsa saw him. Of course, Kamsa also saw Krishna, what to speak of Narada Muni. But generally, one must have purified eyes to see the Lord and his devotees. Of course, by association with a pure devotee, one can derive an imperceptible benefit, which is called agyata sukriti. He cannot understand how he's making progress, yet he makes progress by seeing the devotee of the Lord. Narada Muni's mission was to finish things quickly. Krishna appeared to kill the demons, and Kamsa was the chief among them. Narada wanted to expedite things. Therefore, he immediately approached Kamsa with all the real information. So this is the story is going to develop and become more and more exciting. After the 10th canto, the 10th canto goes on and it becomes so nectarian that, in this temple, we are very fortunate that we are going on. And usually all the temples, they stop where Prabhupada's purport stop. But we are continuing on, honoring his disciples, really. Aristasura, his hoof print. Now, talking about Radhakund, we all go to Radhakund every year, well, at least in our minds, Bahu Darshana? So it's a special day, the day where the Radhakunda was dug out by Radharani in her sakis, and the appearance there of Radhakund. And so this is, thanks to Arista, sure, his hoof dug up the first depression on the earth for Radharani's kund. And the gopis all join in, watching this wonderful pastime taking place. And so Radhakund has all these rivers that we read in the purport, in the Vishwanatha Chakravarti, in the Puranas, the 20 verses from the Puranas. All those holy rivers are there. And besides that, Krishna loves the Kunda as much as he loves Radharani. So love, on top of being very auspicious, it has Krishna's touch of love. And love is is what carries the soul on and on further in self-realization. It's not knowledge and austerities that will drive us towards love for God. It's the mercy of devotees, is the kindness of the heart, is the churning of the heart that will bring us to a different level of existence. And we can leave this material realm and start living and start perceiving the spiritual realm. And we can live in a spiritual world while in this material body. And that's the beauty of a pure devotee. And it's our goal to become pure devotees, because there's so much bliss. When the pure devotee will share, will, because we are not, will share the the satience of eternity and bliss effect, because, you know, the material nature will not disturb him anymore. He will be purified from this material nature. Material nature is very powerful, and it was made to keep us away from Krishna. And Lord Shiva, you know, such great Vaishnava, and his whole thing is to keep us with the false ego. He's the lord of the false ego, to keep us here thinking that, yeah, you know, I am a woman, I am old, I am white, I am black, I am, you know, a business person, I'm a Vaishya, I'm a Brahmana, you know, whatever it is that you think you are. That's the false ego, your eternal soul. And Prabhupada kept hammering on this point, you're not your body. That's the beginning of everything. We have to realize that we are not our bodies. We are spirit souls. And with that, only by the mercy of the pure devotee, we can advance. And then we can share that loving relationship with the Supreme Person. So this 10th canto gives us an array of rasas with Krishna. And the glories of the Bhagavatam are so immense. The Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. And, you know, there's in that Prabhupada soap opera that was on in India, there's one scene that I really loved. It was there was this demon in a cave performing, not demon, he was a tantric. He had power in his hair. He was performing all kinds of mystic activities, and people were coming to worship him. And so the government went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and asked him to, you know, do something, because he was known as a, you know, a devotee of, you know, a powerful devotee, and on top of that, he was also, you know, a great magistrate, respected by the government. And he held, you know, Bhaktivinoda held many governmental posts. So Bhaktivinoda, armed with the Bhagavatam, armed with the Srimad Bhagavatam, went and sat outside the cave. And by reading Bhagavatam, that demon just totally got dismantled. So all the forces that were sent to Bhaktivinoda, because, you know, tantrics and the mystics, that they have, you know, power over material energy, you know, some of it, right? They perform enough activities, austerities, to have some control. That's the whole beauty of being a mystic, to being a, you know, you think you're on top of things, you know, that you're the controller. That's why it's material. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. And so every energy that this person sent to Bhaktivinoda to defeat him, he went right back to him. So he got defeated. And the Bhagavatam, that was the only weapon that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had was the Bhagavatam. And that's the power of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. And we, our faith will prove, you know, for us. You know, the more that we develop our faith in the words of Guru and Guranga, in the words of, you know, the Acharyas, and maintaining, you know, the purity of our sources of knowledge, you know, staying with our parampara, you know, not contaminating with, you know, so many pseudo-religions and pseudo-branches of worship Krishna. It's so many different branches, worship Radha and Krishna, but it's not all the same. It's not all taking us to the lotus feet of Krishna. Because even the impersonalists, they also worship Radha and Krishna. But they worship the deity. They worship the deity just like we do. But they see the worship of the deity as a means to attain to attain the Brahman. So it's a step. It's not the goal. It's a step towards Brahman. That's it's sad, but that's why it's spiritual suicide. It's just, you just don't get it. That's why, you know, to have our parampara and stay focused with our books, it's important that we keep our purity. And there's a interesting analogy with the of the demons. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, the devotee, this is from the Shri Krishna Shikshamrita, I don't know who is it translated by. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the devotee who worships the holy name should first petition the Lord for the strength to cast out all these unfavorable tendencies, and should pray thus before Lord Hari on a daily basis. By doing this regularly, the devotee's heart will eventually become purified. Sri Krishna has killed a number of demons which may arise in the kingdom of the heart. So in order to destroy these problems, a devotee must cry very humbly before the Lord and admit defeat. Then the Lord will nullify all contaminations. And this is in reference to the, for each demon that Krishna killed in Vrindavan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave an anartha reference. And for Arista, the bull demon, the anartha is pride arising from indulging in false religions invented by cheaters, which causes neglect of devotional service. And since we are coming with the Kashi demons coming up, I'll give you the anartha that in our hearts that could that relates to this Kashi demon, and also Vyomasura, those are the last two. The male horse of false pride. This is what the Kashi demon represents. The male horse of false pride. The feeling that I am a great devotee and spiritual master. The cultivation of devotion brings with it many results. Among these is the realization that one is in a better position than others, especially common people. Due to this, a devotee may feel himself to be superior to others, thinking, I am a great devotee. If this mentally is not harnessed, the stampede of Keshi will disturb Krishna. I love this sentence. If this, I am a great devotee, is not mentally harnessed, the stampede of Keshi will disturb Krishna. And such unnecessarily proud devotees will fall from devotional practice. Gentle dealings and humility are always the standard of the Vaishnava. So the idea here is that it will disturb Krishna. I love this, that, you know, that false pride will make Krishna unhappy. So, you know, it's a very good reason to work on it, to harness those mental, this mentality of thinking that I am a great devotee. And in Vyomasura, the demon in the sky, associating with thieves and other rascals, and with people who put themselves forward as avatars. So that's what, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was fighting that one guy with a Bhagavatam, that person was, you know, people were treating him as an avatar. He was saying that he was an avatar. So he wasn't taking that position and getting worship from all the, you know, the Indian people. The Indian people are very pious by nature, so they just sometimes become very gullible as well. They just accept somebody that says, yes, I am a God. So I thought that, you know, to saying how wonderful Krishna is and describing Narada's little more of a relationship with a little more in-depth vision of Narada Muni's relationship with Krishna. And also, you know, the glories of Radhakund and I thought that was a good topics for today. That's all I have to say today. If you there are any questions or comments, thank you for listening. Yes, Prabhu.
While you were speaking, I looked up this one thing. Well, when Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, so I put it up. I'll just read a couple verses. It says, when the Lord understood that the holy place called Radhakunda was no longer visible, however, being omniscient, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund in two paddy fields, and there was only a little water, but he took his bath there. And then he says, when the people of the village saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking his bath in these two ponds in the middle of a paddy field, they were very astonished. The Lord then offered his prayers to Sri Radhakunda. And this is what Lord Chaitanya said. He said, of all the gopis, Radharani is the dearmost. Similarly, the lake known as Radhakund is very dear to the Lord, because it is very dear to Srimati Radharani. And then he said, just as Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Lord Krishna, so her lake, known as Radhakund, is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. So here's Lord Chaitanya in the field speaking to the people. In that lake, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to sport daily in the water and have rasa dance on the bank. Indeed, Lord Krishna gives ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani to whoever bathes in that lake even once in this life, in his life. So, how many people here have bathed in that lake at least once? So just see. This is what Lord Chaitanya said.
Now, why do you think Lord Chaitanya were able to find those little ponds in the paddy field? Srivikra wants to answer.
Oh, no.
No? That's the question on a table.
I completely lost it just now, but I had a different question.
Now, that's the question, you know. The Lord Chaitanya, why Lord Chaitanya were able to find those ponds in the paddy field. It was like, it was nothing. It was like going out in the wilderness.
He's Lord, I mean. No. He knows that everything, and even he would empower his devotees to, like the Gauswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, when they go to Vrindavan, they excavate all the other holy sites and rebuild temples.
Yeah, and he not only empowers, he's the power himself. You know, that's what it is. You know, he's like we were talking about, you know, the body of Krishna. It's not of this realm. And Lord Chaitanya's body is not of this realm. Can you speak up a little bit?
He is imperceptible.
Imperceptible. When the Lord is present on earth, you mean?
Yeah. Some philosophers are saying so if the Lord comes and you're seeing him, or some person comes and you're seeing him, you know, hearing him and so forth, then he's not the Lord. You know, they have this kind of
it all depends on your eyes are purified and your consciousness. It all depends on consciousness. You know, the Lord only sees, it's only seen by those who he wants to be seen by. It's when Lord Chaitanya was here, it's not that everybody perceived that he was the Lord himself. You know, some people just, you know, not everybody thought Lord Chaitanya was, but by his actions, you see. And he was so kind and merciful that everywhere he walked, he would make devotees. He would change their hearts. People would start dancing and crying in ecstasy. That's, you know, Lord Chaitanya's power. He was making the animals in the forest devotees. So it's all, you know, the Lord's power is there, and his actions reveal who he is for those who are paying attention. Yes, probably. Yes.
And you can see him, hear him, touch him, everything.
Yes.
Whereas these other ones, as I would say, he's so great that you cannot see him, you cannot hear him, you know, so many different things. They have this notion. But that's in one sense, a wrong notion. Especially like in the Muslim world, they have this kind of idea.
That's the unfortunate person, you know. That's why it's so important for us to have the parampara, for us to follow the correct, you know, sampradaya, Fukurat acharyas. We can get the information. Because information is, you know, especially in India, there's, you know, a lot of even, you know, the Indian families that come to the temple, a lot of them, if you go and talk to them in depth, they don't know that Krishna is, you know, they know that Krishna is great God, but, you know, not don't find that everybody has the understanding that Srila Prabhupada gives. Only if they actually read Prabhupada's books, and they will understand. It's not that available, you know, in all the different branches of knowledge in India. So we have two people.
I was just going to say that Krishna did mention it in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, I'm not exposed to everybody.
Right.
And he says specifically the mudhas, abhijananta mudha. He says, the mudhas don't see me. And the word you were looking for, what Lord Chaitanya was called, sarvagya bhagavan. That's how Lord Chaitanya found it, sarvagya.
Sarvagya?
Yeah. That it's translated as omniscient.
Omniscience?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Haribo, Mother. I'm just catching the tail end of the class, but Prabhupada said that in order to make yourself available so Krishna can see you, you know, I mean, and we, you know, and as far as what Tribhukarma was mentioning, in terms of the philosophers, you know, so many philosophers speculate, you know, if they read Prabhupada's books and they engage in devotional service, then they might have a chance to see the Lord. But if you're not engaged in devotional service and you're just like speculating and you know, because so many people, I don't believe in the Lord because I can't see him. You know, Prabhupada said over and over again, make yourself, you can't see the air, but the air is there. You can't see a whole lot of things, but it's there. So make your, you know, make yourself
qualified.
Qualified, yeah.
Right, thank you.
And then, of course, when Krishna went into the arena at Mathura, there's 10 different ways that people saw him. They're
right.
Listed all those 10 ways.
Yeah, that's a beautiful description.
And then the other thing he says, well, if you don't see him in this life, you'll see him as death. Mm. You know, death comes, then you'll see.
Prabhupada also gave the analogy of gold. He said that if you don't know what gold is, then anyone can cheat you. You must go and get some knowledge of what's gold, because mm. otherwise you'll be cheated. Mm. So that's where knowledge comes in.
Mm. Yeah, that's the Arista, I'm sure, of Anartha, cheated by different religions. Jai, anybody else? Ladies? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.